I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.
Okay, we are recording. Hello, Esther. How are you?
I'm fine. I was just telling you about how I refuse to give a shit about how I look today. I refuse to be sexually attractive. Oh,
do you know what? Shoes normally.
I refuse.
Which
nothing to do with the, I'm just not. I just refuse.
It's a, statement.
Yeah.
I just stopped caring about my appearance a long time ago. Like I walk out the house in just all the most mismatched shit now. Mm. And Molly's. I live in Margate, so I don't stand out when I do that because everyone's trying to like wear like wildly patterned stuff. But mine is just indicative of a breakdown I probably had about 5 years ago and not been aware of it. And
I sometimes don't even realise how bad it's got. Like I went round to my mates the other on Tuesday because it's Galentine's Day, isn't it? On Tuesday, that's when you're supposed to. So I went round to my mates and then. It was only when I was in her house and she just looked me up and down and I realised I was in a pair of leggings, my husband's jumper and my pyjamas t-shirt. Mm. And she was just like, did you not think to like, and I was just like, no, I didn't. Genuinely didn't care. I'm literally just, as long as I'm warm.
I think it's liberating. And the pyjamas tops. I love it. It's liberating. Too often we do these podcasts and you're like, it looks like I've brushed my hair with a toffee apple, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I'm reasonably I actually went to the hairdressers the other day, which is a fucking rare occurrence. Otherwise, I just look.
Well, I actually got quite conscious of how I looked yesterday. I mean, I'm very conscious because when we film this, that, like, it's really hard to do a podcast.
And I mean, I would be if I was you.
Yeah.
I'd be really conscious.
Thanks, mate. And, like, but yeah, now we're filming, it makes it really weird because I have to sort of try and do a podcast whilst breathing in at the same time, and it's really fucking difficult.
Why do you have to breathe
because
in?
Because otherwise my stomach just pops out. And no one needs to be
the only person who can see
that.
No one can see your
That's
your stomach.
I built this desk so high. It's like it literally hides a multitude of sins. But I went to Lakeside yesterday.
I'm not wearing a bra. My tits are lower than my stomach.
So I went to Lakeside yesterday and I thought, okay, right, I'm going to pop to, I mean, you know, I'm not a classy guy, I'll pop to Primark. And I had like a long coat on, some sort of quite ill-fitting jeans and a stripy T-shirt. And as I was going, I mean, normally in Lakeside, there's, for those that don't know where that is, that's in Essex, there's a lot of people with kind of spray tans and lots of different.
Oh, I can't hear you.
Can you not?
You lost us.
Why can't I hear you?
Uh-oh, we've gone.
Oh, dear.
We've gone.
1-2, 1-2. That's strange.
It looks so concerned. Can you hear us?
I wonder what's happened there.
Is it our mic? Has our mic turned off? Our mic's recording, isn't it? We can see it coming through.
That's working okay.
We'll just keep talking until something changes. I think ours is fine because it's picking up on the mic, right, Stu? You can see the little green thing. So, yeah.
Let's try that. Is that any better? Can you hear us now? No,
we've lost you now. Yeah, we can't hear you.
Can't hear you.
We can't hear you. Oh.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Can hear you. Yeah. Can you hear us? Oh.
Yeah.
You can.
It's basically phone. I think it's the system's just under. So this is free.
It's all good. It's all good. We got we can clean up the sound and all that, Esther. So don't.
Are you sure?
Don't stress it.
So I was.
She was boring us about Lakeside.
Yeah, I was going up the escalator. Yes. And in Primark. And obviously everybody in Lakeside that's quite Essex looks very glam and very tanned and not necessarily 100% sort of sporting what they were born with.
Yeah.
And and I clocked myself as you go up that escalator, like it's almost like you're sort of walking into like a film set because you start to see yourself, and I literally just thought, fucking state of you, mate.
Yeah.
Like, I never go to Lakeside because I just can't be bothered, but I looked fucking dreadful. Yeah. And and I just thought, do you know what? Look at you. I'm not even going to bother trying clothes on the day. So I just went up the escalator and the escalator and fucked off.
You're breaking my heart, man. I thought, you looked a state, so you thought, I know what will improve that. Yeah. Primark.
Going home.
Primarni.
Yeah. I think I went home and had a whole French stick.
Yeah, that's the problem with. That's the problem with living in Essex. It's like whenever I go to social gatherings, everyone's really glam. Yeah. And then people say things to me like, what I love about you is you just don't care.
So offensive.
Passive aggressive is that? What I love about you is you often look like shit.
What about you? You just get up every day and you just carry on as if this is all right. And it just is fine with you. And you're like, oh, that's when I have made an effort.
Oh,
that's a bit
fantastic. Well, look, your top five today, I'll let you introduce it in a moment. I don't think we're going to come out of this looking too good with this top
five.
Well,
I think Esther's going to need to explain the all about it, really.
Yeah.
I think at 43, I need to learn about it.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's only fair.
Absolutely.
But before we become complete misogynists, shall we give a quick shout out to our sponsors?
Yes, we are sponsored by the Say What podcast, which is hosted by the notorious FAWT and Big Papa J. Go check that out. You can listen to that on all the usual platforms. And we are also sponsored by
Southern Martial Arts.
Absolutely.
Go get yourself a black belt.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got one. I've got a few, mate.
Yeah.
Did you get your black belt?
No, I didn't.
Okay, let's move on from that. But if you would like to learn martial arts, go and check out Southern Martial Arts. They are LinkedIn. And if you want to change your careers, Simon will fast track your career so you can become a sensei or a tutor in a variety of different martial arts. So yeah, go and check that out. That is our most punchy plug.
Mm.
And we didn't say anything disrespectful about any of our sponsors today.
I know.
Wow. Well, that makes a change.
Yeah, absolutely.
So shall we scoot straight into Esther's? By the way, your top five, as soon as we heard of it, I thought this is going to be an incredible top five. And I was discussing it with my missus last night.
I didn't know what to do for a top five. And then I was having, when Emma was messaging me, I was having such bad period pain. I was like, top five worst places. Go. The top five. I remember walking the kids home from school going, oh, God, I fucking hate this. I just want to literally pass my insides out. And I've got a feigned interest in what they did at school today. So I was like, yeah, five worst places that you have to go when you've got period pain.
This is incredible.
I thought you would enjoy it.
Yeah, no, absolutely love it. I mean, you sound like you've been on this podcast before, because that is very much like... Obviously, we haven't covered this one, but yeah, we were just like, this sounds fantastic.
Absolutely.
So your kids are like just telling you that they've been bullied at school, but all you could care about is just getting home, basically. And
no, they weren't telling me that. Well, I'm not out. They told me that.
Mum's got some tummy bake.
Just like, and then I said so-and-so, and then so-and-so said to me, and then I went and stood in this corner, and then we were doing this thing, and you were trying to follow it, and you're going, sorry, what happened? You're like, oh my God, you're nervous. And you're like, I'm really struggling following this. But also, there is something about period pain that sends you a little bit. It's so hard to describe. Let's say there's a comedian, Lily Phillips. Check her out. She's awesome. And she does a joke on stage and it's just summed it up. She went, if period pains had a sound, it would be the bagpipes. And that completely sums it up. It is just that, that just completely sums it up. It's just like everything feels swollen, you feel heavy, you feel tired, you feel achy, you feel spaced out, and then you're supposed to just carry on with life. And I just, yeah, it drives you a bit mad. So I was like, what are the worst places that you have to, or what could be the worst places that you have to go when you're feeling
what's
that?
Annoying is that's every month, right? It's not like, you know, oh, this will pass and then that'll be done. It's like, no, I've then got to look forward to it next month.
Yeah, and then some people just don't get it. And then some people, like, they properly just, like, get... I think this... I don't know why this month... And it does depend on how you feel as well. Like, when I was in Edinburgh, I didn't get a period at all. And I was like, oh, and it's literally my body going, you can't cope with it this month. And then when I came back to Edinburgh, it was... I mean, my house was like seen from Saul.
<It's> Carrie.
It was. I was literally just like lying, like, sorry, Godfather. And my husband's like, oh my God, how are you still alive? And I was like, well, this is what my body's done. It's gone, we can't cope this month, but you are going to make up for it next month. Yeah. So it's a funny old thing.
Well, it's when also, like, there's always that worry when, you know, both are like, oh, I've not come on yet. And it's been ages. And it's like, are you pregnant or is there something wrong? Or Molly would be like, no, I've still not come on yet. And we're like, oh, well, I guess we'll whip out the pregnancy test.
How old's your missus?
She's 31.
All right. So yeah. There's the, yeah, if you're pregnant, that would be.
Yeah. But
I mean, I'm 41. So if I was pregnant now, I'd be like, fuck.
No.
I live in a house, obviously, with my missus and my daughters that are 21 and 18. There's a lot of period synchronization chat going on in my house on the regular.
You're telling me, shut up.
I do sometimes find myself just in the little shed at the end of the garden with a dog. You know, fucking hell, this is chaos.
You feel left out.
Yeah, a little bit.
What is it? That this sounds like. Right, here we go. Ignorant thing number one. Have you seen it, this thing where women, if they hang out a lot, the periods start to like sit.
Yeah, they do.
They do sink in.
100% in my house.
Whoa.
Yeah.
100% in our house. I remember my dad used to get really annoyed. He was like, every month we just go through like 1,000 toilet rolls. And I was like, what is this? I'm like, yeah, because you've got 3 doors and a missus. And he's like, why is it every 4 weeks I suddenly have to buy like 900 toilet rolls? I was like,
oh, that is so my house. Okay.
Wow.
So Esther, have you put these have you put this in like an order of like what would be quite bad to really fucking bad?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
right.
Nice.
Let's start with number five.
Yeah, so number five would be doing the big shop in Aldi's with your kid.
Oh man.
That's my number five. Because kids, when you're doing the big shop anyway, are a nightmare.
Yeah.
Because they're just like, I'm bored. Can we buy this? I'm just going to wander off. I'm just going to pull this tin out and smash like this into my display. That's all just going to happen. And then there's something as well with Aldi that nothing's in an order it should be. So it's an added stress. So it's like you want to get some vegetables, but they're over in the orchard aisle.
I feel like that's why it's cheaper, right? It's like they can make you work for it.
It's just chaos.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. If you want it, you've got to deal with a chaos.
You've got to fight for it. It's like the TK Maxx of the supermarket world, isn't it? Basically. It's like you might find somewhere.
You know, when you pay, there's nowhere to actually load your shopping, is there?
And they're rapid as well. They're so rapid.
Yeah. You've literally just got to stand at the end. Your bag open and it just whizzes in. Some of it's hitting you in the face, pins of beer flying over your shoulders. It's like some kind of Tough Mudder challenge. And it's just like rapidly coming in, and then your kids are just like, and also kids are really, they're really self absorbed, like they're quite selfish. So if you bought them something that they've asked for, they'll literally just stand next to you going, have you got the thing yet? Have you got the thing yet? Can I have it now? We're literally like, I'm just starting in the back. Meanwhile, you've got the bagpipes going in and out of your fucking innards. So yeah, Aldi's with your kid.
What would you do? Is it just like, you can't park your, you can't park your kids up. And I've heard rumours are you can't just tie them to a post like a dog.
It's frowned upon.
So it's frowned upon. I'm not saying you can't.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do it.
Yeah. It's not a strong car, but it's advisable not to. Do you? So you've just got to say, you can't just nip into Audi's box and let it, you know, let it happen. You've just got to hold it in, basically, and just suffer until you get home.
What, your period?
Yeah, you just, you know, you can't do anything about it, can you? You're just there in pain.
Oh, it's not like it's all coming out.
It's just the bagpipes pain.
It's just the pain. Yeah. So your insides are just like swelling.
Can we please talk more about Chris thinking it's all just going to come out, please?
No, I know. I understand. I understand it's not like you just like you need to take a shit. I get it. I understand that it's over a period of a few days where it gets its worst.
That would be amazing.
But I thought, like, you know, like, so for example, Molly's nightmare scenario happened recently because we had we did have the decorators in, but we had builders doing our bathroom, and we're not boot. We've got one bathroom. That's it. When we bought our house, that's what we could afford, one bathroom. Molly wanted a second. I said, babes, can't afford it.
Do you know what? You're playing this working class thing now, right? Which is getting on my tits, right? Because you was just talking about Aldi. As if you got a fucking Aldi in Margate. As if you're not in Waitrose or getting fucking shit delivered.
Budgeons. Really expensive budgeons.
I should be in Waitrose. I should be in Waitrose, but my husband prefers Aldi. He loves it.
I love Aldi.
He loves it.
There's this thing, if you want to be that kind of, you can assert your masculinity a little bit in Aldi.
Yes.
Because you go to that go to that middle aisle.
Oh, it's confusing.
And there's other fellas.
I'm not in that down. That is so true.
You can,
that's what I'm most proud of.
You can go to that middle aisle.
And you go like a pizza,
and there's generators and there's chainsaws, and you can just stand around just looking at other sort of confused men, just looking at all the kind of big stuff in that centre aisle.
That centre aisle is just cut.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Chaos, because you stand there and then you've got that, and then like a generator, and then you've got flip-flops.
Mm.
And it just, my brain can't handle the organisation in Audi. It's just like, it just goes into overload.
If there's a zombie apocalypse, go to fucking middle aisle, mate, because you can get yourself sorted.
Well, maybe.
And a pair of slippers.
Maybe.
Meanwhile, Wester's in the toilets just letting it out.
So, no, what I'm saying is, like, the issue with having one bathroom is Molly was extra conscious around, like, that period is because she doesn't want to go into the bathroom. She can't really turf them out while they're trying to fit the shower and then, you know, redecorating herself. Mm. So I wondered if it ever comes that you're literally like, oh, no, I need to I've got to go to the toilet.
Oh, you do? You do. But also another thing when you have children is they will storm into the bathroom. You're not picking up to lock the door. They're in there with you. And I remember being on the loo and my boy came storming in and he saw blood on the tissue paper and he just stood there and looked at me and went, oh my God, drink some water.
What? He's a doctor. What? How old are your kids?
But I haven't just got really bad cystitis. I was like, oh God.
That's incredible.
This is a conversation I don't need to have. But yeah, that's my fault for not locking the door immediately.
I'm guessing they're quite young. You know, your son's not, he's not like 15 coming in past.
It's not 17. No, it's not. No, it's not that type of household.
Okay, number four.
Number four is a Ryanair flight.
Oh no.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of the queuing.
Yeah.
The queuing, the fact that Ryanair flights are essentially just like deck chairs.
They really are. Yeah.
To a shed floor. So they're not comfy. No. And you've got to do a lot of queuing. And there's no like, there's nothing comforting about a Ryanair flight. That you don't even get a tea. So it's all, and often there's a lot of stag do's, a lot of hen do's. There's a lot of screaming, a lot of chaos. So a Ryanair flight when you've got really bad period pain, it's not appealing, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
And then you've got to use the airplane toilets.
Yeah, that's never fun. I mean, have you? Yeah.
And if you look on a packet of tampons, they'll always give you a little image of how to put your tampon in, and it's always like, just pop your leg on the toilet, and it's like, try doing that in a aeroplane toilet. Yeah. So I'm not popping my leg anywhere. I can barely sit down on the toilet. So you're literally right. Yeah, you need to. It's quite a gymnastic move.
Yeah, I mean, Ryanair as an experience in general is fucking horrific. I've got a story about years ago. I used to do a little sort of DJ tours with James Buckley from the Inbetweeners, and we was booked to go to Ireland, and he's certainly not one of them fellas that's like, do you know who I am type thing, and you're probably never going to flex that muscle, certainly not on Ryanair anyway. and we got to the front of the queue, and he had this little bag that he'd meticulously packed to try and get in the little thing. And it wouldn't fit in the thing. And this woman just kept going to him, no, you're going to have to pay another £70 to take that bag on the plane. And he was trying to be as civil as he could. And I was just sitting, sort of standing next to him, sort of thinking, this is quite shit, but it was quite funny. And he was so frustrated, but I think there was a big queue of people, and I think a few of them were like, oh, it's that fella from the Inbetweeners, like... And I think he was aware of that, so he couldn't kind of have a proper tease about it. But he just went, Ryan, unfair. Just walked off. Oh, well, that was pretty decent, that.
I had to take the wheels off my suitcase once.
Really?
Yeah. That was.
Were you going to say I had to take the wheels off the plane?
Ryanair really making cutbacks. Yeah, we went snowboarding, and the person at the front was fitting, because you always get that one who's absolute job's worth, and they were fitting everyone's suitcase into the little fitter, and mine, the wheels were too big. He was like, you can't take that on.
This is what I love about Essex people, though, because we were doing a flight to Turkey, and it was a proper cheap Ryanair flight, and it was just loads of like Essex lot, and they were going, your suitcase doesn't fit in this thing, and this guy just went, yeah, and he just ripped open the bag, held his pants and his toothbrush, and just kicked the suitcase and went, what are you going to do now? And just held his luggage in his hands all winter time. And I was like, fucking legend.
That's so good. That is fucking great.
This guy was going, no, you got to pay £60. And he was like, fuck no, I ain't got money. And his was fuming. Imagine they're on a day away. And
she's like,
are you serious, Gary?
There's something very special about people in Essex. When they're put under that level of pressure, they can just pull it from somewhere special. Yeah. I love that shit.
I know. You bet. But that's what I love about them. They cannot bear a rule.
I literally pulled out, like, we had a screwdriver to fix our snowboards, basically. So I whipped that out, took the wheels off, packed them, and then got on. But yeah, how crazy.
They let you take a screwdriver on an
aeroplane. Yeah, but it's tiny. It's like that bit. It's like that. And we got that out of our snowball bag, done that, and then, yeah, off we went. Fucking
but even so, they should...
I don't know. And I did that pretty much in sight of her with the screwdriver, the snowball the screwdriver. Yeah.
The calibre of Ryanair security.
I think that was South... Was it Southend Airport? Maybe. Can't remember.
That's the best one. Yeah, that's great. The best one, because they do the flights every... I think it's Friday at 6
yeah.
o'clock
yeah.
to Amsterdam, yeah, coming yeah. back on Sunday at yeah, 4 yeah. in the afternoon. Yeah, yeah. So it's heaving
yeah.
with all sorts of people that literally... are just going for the best weekend of their life. Yeah. Everybody is so excited to just go and literally lose their mind for 2 days. That's a beautiful place, Southend yeah. Airport, on a Friday afternoon. It's ice not so pretty dreams. At 4 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon.
Should we do...
Yeah, if you could sum up, if you could hear a plane with a visual, it's Southend Airport, 4 p.m., like coming back from Amsterdam. The visual of period pay.
It sounds like, yeah, going on Ryanair with a period is just trying to complete it on difficult mode, right?
Would you say just... that is up there with or worse than maybe a longer flight back from Egypt where you've eaten some dodgy salad and like...
Oh,
and you, yeah. Because we've all been there and that is not a good experience.
I survived Egypt until the last day. And then the last day, I was off work for 7 days after that.
Really?
Yeah, it was really bad. And I loved Egypt. Egypt was a cracking. And then, but the 7 days after, it was not so much, yeah.
The second time I went to Sharm, I remember getting there, and as I walked in, behind the reception was like their sort of first aid room, and it just had like, you know, them sort of like pop-up kind of like clothes racks that people flog gear at boot sales off of. It was like one of them, but he just had loads of like saline drips hanging off of it. And I just thought, fucking hell, yeah. That is not a good
yeah,
look.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, my niece was hooked up to one of them about 3 days later.
Egypt, guys?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, once those bugs get in your system.
Man, I was so ill. I was so ill. I was shivering, but I had like 2 blankets on me. And yeah, it was just a world of pain.
Yeah. That is as many Imodiums as you can get on it before that flight. Just proper ODing on them.
Where are we at? Three?
Number three.
Number three. It's a bit discombobulating because your video is not in sync with your sound. So I'm really conscious. Am I talking over you? That's the only thing.
I apologize too. If we didn't.
No, so I don't want to talk over you. So that's why I'm a little bit kind of... delayed baby. Well, number three is going to watch your kids in a play or concert.
Yeah. Oh. Rough.
You always think they're going to be like 20 minutes and they're not. They're like an hour and a half and you can't hear anything and there's loads of mumbling and it's often quite cold. It's often in a church hall, some kind of hall that's quite cold, quite uncomfortable. And it's really quite hard to follow. Like with a lot of my kids' plays, if you put a gun to my head and said, "What's that about?" It's a little bit like film. What's it, Tenon?
Yeah.
And you're literally like, I have no idea what's just happened. I feel like that's like watching a kid play. But at least with Tenon, there's a bit of action. So that kind of, you know, distracts you. A little bit like a Harold Pinter play. They're all just mumbling in the back of a rhythm. You don't really understand what's going on. So that combined with, sitting on a really uncomfortable chair.
I don't know if any of your kids have got involved in dance classes, because that, I don't recommend that, because both my daughters and my missus, funnily enough, got involved in that. Fucking hell. And like, because it builds up to the show or the string of shows at the end of the year or whatever, and once you've got that one photo of your kid, like, you're done, aren't you? And it's
I think it's having to watch a lot of other people's children.
Fucking man. Hate it.
This is a rant. So my boy refuses to do anything, and then I said to him, right, you're doing drama, you're doing the biggest sister, you're gonna go do drama, you're gonna do something, you're just gonna say nah, right? So off he went to drama club. He went, yeah, all right, I'll do drama. And off he went to drama club, and then he came back, and I was like, so what's the show you're putting on? And they're like, we're doing Matilda. And I was like, okay. And my daughter was telling me what her part was. And I said to my son, and what are you doing? He went, stagehand. And I went, what? And he went, stagehand. And I went, what do you mean stagehand? I just get to sit and eat custard creams and just hand out the props. And I was like, so I'm paying 150 quid a term for you to hand out props, and then I have to go and watch a show where you're not even on the stage.
That's frustrating. And yeah, you don't even know if he's doing a good job with the custard creams either. You've got no idea what he's doing backstage.
He's having a great time.
He's having the time of his life. Mummy's paying £150 for some custard creams.
Once you've got that one picture of your kid,
yeah,
and you've then had to endure maybe another hour and a half of just other kids that, and they're little kids, so I mean, essentially, it's shit.
Yeah, they've got nothing to offer.
And like, really, you are just watching someone else's kids just sing and dance shitly.
Mm.
And then when it finishes, because also you have to, I just think, well, I'm just going to get pissed. Mm. I'm just going to get pissed to get through this. And then it just gets to the point where like the show's finished and I just think, oh, fucking great, I'm out of here. And then we always have to go on the last night, and then one by one, all of the people that run the class and all the other kind of mums that help all get these bouquets, and one by one they all just come, and it's like, oh, for fuck's
sake. What, and they hand out flowers to
another hour of just watching these dance mums all just kind of forcing tears, like, and like, oh, like they've literally just put on some fucking epic Rada-esque, like, it's fucking rubbish.
That's
mate.
Tragic, mate. And you're just sat there stinking like teachers.
I'm literally, and I drink Schultz as well, because I just think, if I drink a pint, I'm going to have to keep pissing.
Too so visible.
If I just, I literally, my missus will look at me, it's like, have you just ordered a double? And I'm like, yes. It's like, yeah, not good. Not good.
What? So they've done Matilda. What other play? Can you even remember any of the plays, Esther? Is it just like,
they are good plays. I'd like to see my son in it. Although I do remember when he was little, and I mean, to be fair, it's not his natural forte. I remember when he was little, and he was in one show, and I just saw he was a frog. But he had like a long tongue,
okay,
in his costume that kind of hung down in front of his eyes, and I just saw a hand push him onto the stage, and he just stood on the stage for about 2 minutes, just staring at his tongue, so completely cross-eyed, and then hand just got him, pulled him off the stage. We were like, he has literally no idea what's going on or why he's there. And I was so glad that we've sat for 2 hours
for that,
with other people's kids who know what they're doing.
Do you do that thing when it's like, you know, that moment there where your son sort of gets sort of put on thrust onto the stage? Do you do that thing? And I have a feeling it is Essex, an Essex thing.
Are you going to say boo at the other kids?
Like, no.
Okay.
No, but like when your kid comes on, you go, yeah, woo! Like, do you know what I mean? Like them kind of like really overexcited people that have just seen their kid for that one moment in the spotlight.
Yeah, and my daughter was part of her school choir, got to sing in the Royal Albert Hall. So it's all the schools from the borough and singing in the Royal Albert Hall. And it was absolutely brilliant, and it was complete euphoric. But me and my husband were like, you knew all the, because it borderlines London and Essex, you knew all the Essex parents. They would be in it like it was a football match. So they would shout out their school name. So imagine they're on stage at Royal Albert Hall, and you'd see all these dads just going, but like,
the last one, which was literally at Christmas, I was at the Civic in Grays, and it was like this sort of tiered seating at the back, and I was on the end of the aisle, and there was a really bored kid that had to go and watch his brother or sister that was just restless and was climbing the side of the racking, like the seating, yeah. Sorry, and as I'm filming, like, my daughter, I've heard him go, and like halfway through my daughter's performance, my camera phone pans to this kid who's like all bent the wrong way, laying on the floor, and all these kind of like frenzied parents trying to sort of pick him up and pull him. He's literally falling about 4 foot by the fall. It is slightly more interesting.
How did I do, Daddy? Oh, I don't know, but
look at that though. Oh, wonderful.
Did you do any, was you in any plays?
I was.
What was you in?
I was in one called Showboat, and I had one line in that, and I was in I was an ugly sister in the school play, and do you know what? I literally found the photos of that a little while ago, and it was not a good look.
No.
It was not a good look. I was a tubby kid, and I did not pull off the ugly sister thing very well.
I've seen you recently. There was other photos you were posting. You dressed up as a, what was that? Oh no, it was the video for Cunt and the Gang, wasn't
it? Oh yeah.
I thought you looked rather fetching.
Oh, thanks, mate. Cheers. It's always quite difficult to sort of pull off a good sort of theatrical character as a woman when you've got a big beard. It's not the best look. All right, Esther, number two, please.
No, I was thinking. I know he's dead, but if you had to go and you only had standing tickets to a Meatloaf concert,
specifically Meatloaf,
that's because every song is a day.
It's so long, yeah.
And the standing is really uncomfortable, and I think Meatloaf, it's not. I mean, I'm not massively adverse to a Meatloaf track. Like, don't get me wrong, we all know them, but they're not the kind of music that you would find soothing if you've got really bad period pain. You've got to stand and you've got to listen to, let's say he does what, 15 songs. Yeah. I mean, you're talking a good 3 days, aren't you?
Absolutely, and that's a roller coaster of drama-y songs, isn't it? It's up and down. It's all over the place.
And your stomach's just crescendoing with, I would do anything. And your stomach's just panging. Yeah, youch.
Yeah, your back's hurting. Your hips are hurting. The pain radiates down your legs as well. So it kind of like everything, it feels like your legs are just pulsing. So yeah, just a Meatloaf concert and you've only got standing tickets and there's queues to get to the toilets and everyone else there is really into it. That would be.
Would you endure it? Would you, like, if for instance, your husband was like, I've got these tickets to go, not necessarily Meatloaf, but a gig, and your belly was in all kinds of sort of pins and needles sort of places, would you just bin it off, or would you endure it?
I think women, we've been conditioned that to say I've got period pain is just not an excuse. You're supposed to just function as everyone else does. So I don't feel like you can ever really, apart from, like, when you're at home and you can kind of say, oh, I'm going to go to bed early or I'm feeling a bit rough. I don't think that, because you've never been like allowed to feel like you could just call in sick or not do all the things that you should be doing. We've been made to kind of just go, you just have to get on with it. It's just part of life. And if you don't, then you're
pathetic. Right? Because like, if it's as bad as any other time when you need to take time off work or whatever, you should be able to not feel any stigma for that and say, look, I'm sorry, this is fucking savage and I can't do anything today. I think that should be absolutely fine.
I'm also more impressed that what's worse than period pain? Meatloaf.
I'm thinking it's a good thing to go to because Meatloaf is going to just drown out the bang fucking bagpipes in your stomach. You'd be like, oh, I didn't have one pain.
You like playing the bagpipe. Is what period. I mean, I think period play, the way it makes you feel, because it's all like, it's all encompassing. But you know when you're going uphill, but imagine your bike's on like gear 5. That's what it feels like.
It's just like, not mentally. Cool. It's not cool.
So that you try and get through Meatloaf, which is such a long, every song's so long, and everything just feels like you're clawing through the day.
It feels like it would make it worse.
Literally, like, she's a bit dramatic. I'm just having a bit of a bad month. But yeah, I mean, it just, that would be kind of like my idea of not a great thing to do.
Well, look,
we'll
talk about what you've got coming up. With comedy after your number one, but before that, am I right in saying, I mean, you mentioned going up a hill in fifth gear, you've been getting right involved in a bit of running, am I right?
Yeah. I'm doing the marathon.
How's that going?
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it?
I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Talking appearance. I had to run, so I did a 21 miler on Monday on my period. And when I came back, my husband was like, "Oh, how do you feel? Do your legs feel all right?" And I was like, "I have got right." This is the thing about me is I've got no boundaries, so I have
share,
I apologize.
This is definitely a safe space for that.
Yeah.
My entire family are always like, "Why don't you have any nicotine?" Legs were fine. Everything was fine, but the chafe rash from my sanitary towel after running 21 miles.
Oh, gosh.
I was like Don Wayne for the rest of the day. Oh, my God. I was like, either side of my chaff. That has been rubbed down to bone.
That must be agonizing.
Like, anyone's got tips for that?
I've had that. I had a pair of those. I did a Tough Mudder, and I had a pair of like the... like shorts. I bought them for that purpose because I'm not that athletic, so I had to go out and buy some sportswear and just wore them that day, and it was like you know, like the fishnetty stuff you get. I know what that's to hold your balls in. I don't know what it's there for, but that was just that was just rubbing against the inside of my thigh. So a bit like what you're saying, it's like it was so sore once I finish.
Well, it's like blokes get it, don't they? From nipple, their nipple dropping.
Mm. Do you know what?
That's what's been causing that.
I guess on a more sort of, I guess to be a bit serious, really, we talk about sport. I've got a little podcast where I talk to mixed martial arts fighters, and it was really interesting because when we're speaking to the women fighters, they were saying as soon as they get their fight day, they have to check their calendar because they have to cut weight. And a lot of the time, that's water and stuff like that to make their weight. And they said if they've got their period, it fucks with their whole fight camp. And like, and these are like the best in the world, these fighters. And they're saying, if my fight ties in with my period, it's a fucking another hurdle, which I'd never even considered
is hard enough
as
it is. Yeah,
fucking idiot guy. I just didn't even think like that would. But yeah,
there's so many things. Like, you know, I've got to do long runs, but then I can't run at night. On my own. You can't. Like, I was with a mate of mine, Tom, and we'd like gone away, like two families, the kids and stuff. And then I said to him, as he runs, and I was like, let's go out for a run. And there was like a little country path, and I was like, I'll go down there because I'm with you. And he was like, God, that would never occur to me. And I was like, I wouldn't run down there on my own. And it's all these things that you don't think about.
Well, blokes don't. And then, blokes don't. It's that, and like, and it's funny because some of my girlfriends, you know, because I've got loads of girlmates.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you're
and
all your girlmates.
Basically, it was well into my 20s before I had that conversation with some of my girlmates about like, you know, just walking, and they were like, yeah, but you never feel. I'm also a black belt, so I never feel threatened. But I've never felt like uncomfortable walking somewhere on my own, really, unless like there's been certain times at night in particular neighborhoods where I felt all this. Kat was like, you got no idea. It's just a complete, you don't have to assess that risk before you go anywhere. And like, again, you're saying it's doubly so when you want to actually do an activity, you want to do a run. It's like, well, I actually can't now go for a country run through fear of some psycho being there. Yeah, it's tricky.
And also, with my run, I'm quite a raspy breather. And I've noticed that I'll be running down the street and some poor woman will be in front of me. She will literally leap into a bush because I just come up behind her like, but now I was like, wow, I'm now seeing what it's like to also be a bloke.
Yeah.
So, what?
Terrifying women.
Is this your first marathon?
It is my first marathon.
So how comes you're doing it this year?
I've done a load of half marathons, and then I was asked to do it to represent a World Protection of Animal charity, which is a charity that my daughter is quite passionate about. So I agreed to do it.
That's amazing.
Oh, amazing.
And so if people want to sponsor you, is there a link where people can go and sponsor you?
If they can, please sponsor me, because all my immediate family are just like, what? We have to go. Oh, no one cares. And so that'd be lovely to have some motivation. But yeah, the link is on my Instagram. It's on my link tree. So it's all in my bio on my social medias on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
If people don't sponsor you, it's going to be a bit like your son just handing out custard creams as a stage hat. It's just going to be a waste of time.
It's essentially that, isn't it? Yeah.
So
yeah, my sister was like, "Do we only see you once?" And I was like, "Well, I'm not just doing laps of doing laps up and down the street.
You can move if you want to see me more than once. You can. They can be like see you earlier on in the marathon and then relocate to see you again
because they can track you, right? They've got the trackers now, aren't you? So you can sort of see where you are.
Yeah, I think my husband, my kids, and my mates will come down. My parents won't because I think it's stressful. My dad's like, unless there's toilets.
He's got periods to worry about as well.
He's got periods to worry about, yeah. All those women periods.
Oh, fantastic.
The Lady Deep by
Before we get on to number one as well, you've just finished your tour, Hell Have No Fury. How did that go?
It's just been extended. Oh, actually.
Amazing.
I'm kickstarted back off in April and I'll be doing Chelmsford, Bristol again, Canterbury, Southampton, and somewhere else. I can't remember.
We'll link you.
It will be April and May. Amazing.
We'll get that linked in. What's it about? What's Hell Have No Fury about predominantly?
Basically, if you're anyone who's in a long-term relationship or has children or has to go to work and watch my shows, it's literally me just having an absolute over all the little things that drive you absolutely mental. There's a lot of, what I love about it is that it really turns into like, I have a lot of couples that come and watch my show and it really turns into a night out. Actually, after the South End show, I think most of them were trying to organising my out, most of the audience by the end of it. So it's really good fun. Really good fun. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, lovely. Well, look, that's been a really positive and a nice thing to talk about. Do you want to do your number one worst place to have period pains?
Soft Play Centre. Oh,
God.
Have you been to the one in South End?
No, I haven't.
It's massive.
It's just, I mean, I can't start to imagine what you was going through, but I've been to the one. I've been to the one in Lakeside. I've been to the one in Basildon. Both
with your kids
and hangovers.
Oh,
fucking hell!
Oh, Hangover and Soft Play. Because Soft Play essentially, the acoustics is like it's insane. Cause it's always in like these metal type massive aircraft hangar builder type things, building type things. And the acoustics just rattles round. And then when your kids are little and you can hear a cry and you'll have to go in and find them. And there's always just other children like just in a ball sobbing. So it's like, it's all like Vietnam flashbacks they're having. And you're just having to go, oh, my parents, son, don't worry. And then you're running off and you've got to crawl through like little tunnels and you've got to go down slides. And it's just the work, the noise, the crying, everything's moist. It's a bubble down everything. It's moisture everywhere. So being hungover and having period pain and having to take your kids to Soft Play, oh my God, I'd rather cheese grate my tit.
And there's always going to be some kind of face-off with another parent because your kid or their kid has bumped into them or not let them have a go on the slide first. So there's always some kind of like standoff that's really kind of enhanced by the fact you've got the fucking right ump that you've just paid 14 quid for a coffee and a shit cake.
They're really expensive. Yeah. They're really expensive. They're really stressful. And all the other parents, I think that's why there's always a fight that kicks off at Soft Play because all the parents are proper aggy. And I remember one dad come out going, your son went down the slide backwards and you're not supposed to, it says on the rules, you're not supposed to go down backwards. And I'm just like,
that's that person. I bet his job is checking fucking luggage at airport. But if your kid is all right, what else?
Ripped open my son, took all his insides out, down the slide, frontwards going, is this making you happy?
I just want to come back to the bit that, like, because I kind of like, I haven't been in one for a while, obviously.
You've got no kids, that'd be
I've
weird.
I've got no kids and I've got a beard. There's no way I'm going anywhere near a soft play centre. But I remember, like, the last, like, sort of, like, action world I went to was Bognor Regis. Was, what is it? What's the thing down in Bognor? Butlins. It was fucking amazing.
Oh, Butlins.
But everything was, like, I remember this, like, when you said moist, I was like, yeah. Like, it was, yeah, I dived in the ball pit and it was, there was, it was wet. And I was like, I know what that is. It's like when you're at a gig and something hits you and it, like, water
splashes.
Also,
the Batmans have the adult weekenders.
Yeah.
Still
so
moist.
So it could be, yeah, it could be anything.
Yeah. Batmans is a weird
one. Molly keeps saying, oh, we should do that. And I'm like, because she'd love to do like, she'd love to go to like a really like kitschy sort of like Steps reunion, and
right, I did it.
You've done that.
I did it.
How did it go?
I went. I saw. Do you know what? It is a lot of fun, but it's also hell on earth.
Yeah,
it's something I'll do once.
Yeah, yeah.
I went. There was like, who was on? Belinda Carlisle.
Incredible.
So it's all like Carlisle, yeah. Mel C. Who else was on? God, I can't remember. But everyone in the room was so off their head on drugs. It was mental. It was like, it was the trippiest night of my life. And I don't do drugs. So I was watching in a very cold room. A lot of people just completely off their tits watching Five. And I was like, this is weird.
That's weird.
And there's like a ballpark, like a pool, ball thing, yeah. And like our patterns, you're just like, it is weird, but I have done it.
I just find that whole thing really surreal, that if you're, I guess, middle-aged and you want this kind of weekend, this lost weekend of hedonism and drugs, to Heaven is a Place on Earth by fucking Belinda Carlisle. It's not exactly fucking Strings of Life or Insomnia, is it?
Do you know
it's
what? Like... It, to me, that whole weekender is just the analogy of, you don't know the night's ended at a club night. You know that person who's still, or it's a house party, and you're like, the party ended an hour ago, mate. You, the writing was on the wall, but you're still trying to drag out another like hour of chatting and dancing. But that's that whole weekender for us middle-aged people, like you're saying, is like, we're trying to desperately like reclaim back our youth from parenthood and whatever. Yeah. And actually, it's just a bit tragic.
I think I'm okay leaving my youth.
Yeah.
I think I'm okay with it just being gone.
Stay in there.
I don't need to reclaim it. No. I don't need it.
Have you been to Butlins with the kids?
Yeah, and that was equally as traumatic.
Yeah, that's, I never got the memo there. Like, you know, I'm no snob. I was born in fucking Tilbury Town. But when I got there, I was like, I did not know there was a dress code. Why did no one tell me I had to wear a tracksuit? And it was like, because I was the only guy there in jeans. Everybody was just literally full on Lonsdale. Like,
yeah, wow.
It's like being locked in a motorway service station.
Oh, bang on. Bang on.
And you can't leave. So your kid, you know, when you go to a motorway service station, your kid's like, please, can we get on this little ride machine they have outside the WH Smith. It's like that. It's just like you're locked in the service station and you're not allowed to leave and everyone screams 24/7. And do you know what I found about as well with Butlins is the performances, the shows you go and watch are amazing. And these people are like dancing their heart out or singing their heart out and they finish. And it is a really good show. And they finish and maybe one person's clapping, everyone else is just
fucking brutal.
I saw a really weird thing when I took the kids when I was really, really young. I think it was, there was like a some sort of like the Butlins entertainment team, like,
yeah,
were just doing this kind of like tribute to, I think it was like Bon Jovi or something like that. It was like sort of classic rock, so I had like wigs on and like and leather jackets, and afterwards there was this one family and they all had Bon Jovi t-shirts on and they were all so excited to have photos with these people. And I was thinking, I don't get it. It's not John Bon Jovi. It's like, it's Martin, who last night was like in ABBA. Like, it's just quite strange. Yeah. And they were so, I mean, lovely. They were really just having the best time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just think, no one wants to see anyone's holiday photos full stop, let alone look at look who I saw last night. Is that Bon Jovi? No.
Do you know what? They probably appreciate, when they were on stage, they appreciate how into it that family were.
Yeah.
But then they want it to end there. Like, we went to the circus about 6 months ago, and there was a guy near the front, and it was a bit the same what you were saying. I said, like, there wasn't many people cheering. And these circus performers, one of the performers, she was doing the whole, like, you know when you've just got those, it's like, she's spinning around on curtains, effectively. Like, it was incredible. It was amazing. Like, it was death-defying, yeah. And she just killed it. It was amazing. And like, no one's clapping. And then there's a guy near the front, and he's clapping his heart out, and me. And I feel like I'm trying to do the job for my entire row because no one else is clapping. And I kept looking at this guy down the front, clapping his hands. And I thought, oh, well done, mate. Like, I bet they really appreciate you. But the problem was, when the show ended, that guy did not stop clapping for about 20 minutes. And then you realise there's something wrong with this guy. Like, he was deranged, beyond deranged. Yeah. And he was literally running into the middle of the circus bit, congratulating the people at the end.
Oh,
yeah, it all got a little bit like, it was great until it really wasn't.
I love the fact, up until that point, you was about to add him on Facebook.
Yeah, I was like, what guy? And then I was like, man, I hope I don't catch eyes with him, because I know I'm going to end up in a conversation with this guy. And that's not a place you want to be.
You're going to end up with your rap, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
I remember being at Butlin, and my agent rang me. And she was like, "Hi, I'm just checking in because you're off to Edinburgh Festival, obviously, next week. And we just want to make sure, you know, that you're in and stuff." And I was like, "Yeah." And she's like, "So are you having a relaxing holiday?" I was like, "I'm currently sat in the laundrette. I don't even have any laundry to do just to escape." So I was just sat. My family were in the service station, Butlin's hellhole. And I just sat in a laundrette just watching a very unhappy woman do her laundry, going, "I'm just going to watch you because I need to get my family." Like, there's something about it as well that sends everyone a bit mental. Yeah, yeah. So the kids are like, they're on crack. Mm. Men just start drinking from the moment they open their eyes, in the middle, like falling off chairs. So everyone just goes a little bit. Yeah.
I love to think that woman was just sitting there watching her washing machine going round, thinking,
not even her washing.
just thinking, like, I think I can hear bagpipes.
You're period in a soft play centre, obviously. Worst thing that can happen.
Oh, Esther, that's been such a fucking fantastic top five. It's been absolutely amazing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure.
It's been lovely to chat with you again.
And if people want to come and watch the shows, is there still tickets available?
Yeah. I don't know, actually. But yeah, I reckon so.
Okay. And the links.
Come along. The links are all on my if you just go on Instagram or Facebook, then it's all on there. Just click on the link, and if you want to sponsor me, please. Ours is really long.
Well, we'll put all the links in the show notes to this episode, so people can go and do that. And
thank you.
Honestly, Esther, it's been wonderful.
It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for your time.
No worries. Thank you for having
Absolute
me.
Absolute pleasure. We're going to press stop. Don't go anywhere. It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.